Okay, Erev Tov. We are here studying the commentaries on the Haggadah by the Netziv, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Cook. Second class in this series. I wanted to start with an insight by the Netziv, which appears in a very famous line in the Haggadah, and then from there we'll move to our primary topic tonight, which is about Pesach Matzah Umaror in the thought of Rabban Gamliel. So, if you had to pick the most famous lines of the Haggadah, what would it be? No. What strikes you as, what do you remember? Wow, ooh, that's a big one. Oh, that's one that we sing, that's one that we all say together, that's one that we do something, something demonstrative. What is it?
There are many, I don't know.
There are many, okay.
Oh,
okay, so how about this one?
Ilu,
Dayenu is a big one.
Dayenu,
absolutely. Now, what about this line? B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lir'ot et atzmo k'ilu hu yatzat mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person is supposed to see themselves as if they left Mitzrayim. Shene'emar. You bring a pasuk. V'higadet alevincha. Can you finish the pasuk? V'yomahu le'mor. You shall tell your child on that day. Ba'avur zeh. Because of this, asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem took me out of Egypt. Not only our forefathers, el af otanu gaal imahem, even us, Hashem redeemed. Shina emar veotanu hotzi misham, as it says, and you, okay, and us, we were taken out from there. Lamana vi otanu, in order to bring us, latet lanu atar tashenishba labatin, in order to give us the land of Eretz Israel. Now, the Netziv of the Pelet Tzvi Yehuda Berlin in his Haggadah called Imrei Shefer as a fascinating, and I'll call radical for a second, interpretation of this idea. Very simply, it means that a person is supposed to imagine that they left Mitzrayim. That's the pshat of the... Now, where does this come from? It comes from the Mishnah, Masechet Pesachim. Okay, this is there's a source. The source is from the Mishnah, which is sort of the first record that we have, aside from the Torah, it's the first record we have of the of Magid and of the Seder Pesach. Now, the Netziv says as follows. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo k'ilu yatza mimitzrayim. Ki'inyan ditznan b'Sanhedrin. This is connected to an idea in Masechet Sanhedrin, daf lamed zayin amud aleph. She'chayav kol adam lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. A person is supposed to say, according to the Gemara, it's because of me that God created the world.
For me.
Because of me. Or for me. God created the world. Hachinami, so to hear, chayav kol adam amar divishvilo levado hayta yitziat Mitzrayim. Person should also say, just like God created the world for me, God also redeemed us from Egypt because of me. Not 3 million Jews or 600,000 gvarim. It's because of me that God redeemed the Jewish people from Eretz Mitzrayim. What do you think of this comment?
It's the bottom line of the Jewish religion is as a personal connection to
okay,
Hashem.
Okay, it's a nachon. Everyone is a, there's no doubt. Everyone is a personal connection to Hashem. This speaks to the uniqueness.
It's all our history. And it's
speaks to the unique qualities.
It happened then.
Nachon. It speaks to the unique qualities of every individual. Everyone's special. Everyone is distinct. Everybody is unique. We ourselves, individually, would have been worthy of being redeemed from Mitzrayim, or at least it's because of us that God redeemed everybody else.
In the same way, stronger that we are all supposed to be at Atzerah.
Nachon. Correct.
And to understand, we always have to say thank you to Hashem for doing this for us.
Nachon. Correct. But there's what the Gemara says is one thing. It says that God created the world for me. It doesn't say that God redeemed me from Egypt or redeemed us from Egypt because of me. So this is a chidush of the Netziv. V'hatoelet mizo ha-machshava. Uvenet ki hi ba lahagbiya ad lev ha-adam v'derech Hashem. The value in this statement. Now it sounds a little egocentric. What, because of me? Am I the center of the universe that God redeemed me from Egypt? That's why God created the Exodus? Because of me? Okay, we're studying the Netziv's Haggadah. We're studying, just to summarize, b'chol d'vador chayev adam v'derech ha-adam v'derech ha-adam v'derech ha-adam. Every generation a person needs to see as if they left Egypt. So the Netziv, he's the last Rosh Hashiva of Elazhin, before Elazhin closed. There's a lot of politics as to why it closed. He says a chidush about this. He compares this line to another line in Masechet Sanhedrin, where it says, Shechayav kol adam lomar bishvili nivra olam. A person needs to say, the world is created for me. The Netziv extends this idea that God redeemed all of Am Yisrael because of me. That's how where the Netziv goes with this notion, which is a chidush. Okay, and in the footnote here, okay, they say chidush gadol shel Rabbeinu. This is a big chidush. Where does he get this from? God created the world for me, but it doesn't mean that he redeemed all of us from Egypt because of me. Now, on the face of it, it sounds very egocentric that a person should think that they are the center of existence. Right? It's very strange that we would encourage a person to think this way.
But we're all important to Hashem.
We're all important, but it doesn't mean that we're the meaning of all existence. It doesn't mean that we're the ultimate of ultimate importance. It means that we're important, but not necessarily of ultimate importance. So he says, the value in this statement is to raise a person up, to elevate them in order to walk in the way of Hashem. Now, there are two different schools of Musar in Judaism. One school of Musar is, you're terrible, you're junk, you're this, you're that, you're a Russia, Yetzer Hara. That's one way. You put someone down, right? You make them feel that they are worthless.
Not in a mean way, but in an educational way, in a pedagogic way.
That a person says, the Yetzer Hara is going to get you. You have to strengthen yourself, fortify yourself against the power of the Yetzer Hara. There's another school of thought, which Dafka not Volozhin, but Slobodka was known for this, that you raise a person up. You're so good. You're so amazing. You have so much potential. How could you do that? Right? How could you engage in that type of behavior? You're above it. You're better than it. Right? You understand? It's the difference between putting a person down and saying you're nothing, you're Narishkeit, you have no chance, versus saying you're amazing. And because you're amazing, because the exit has happened for you, so therefore you know great things are expected of you. So a person understands that the world was created for them, so they feel a sense of obligation. They feel a sense of gratitude, obligation, responsibility. Okay, now, I was thinking of another connection between these two things. It's based on the Torah, but also Ramban's exposition of this. You know, there are two foundational ideas in Jewish thought, two foundational moments. One is creation of the world, the other one is Yetziat Mitzrayim. Why are these so significant? Because one speaks about God's creation of the world, but according to some theologians, God created the world, and then he moved on, he left, right? It's like setting a clock that works on automatic. Okay, this is called deism. Okay, there's another, but beyond that, we believe that not only did God create the world, but he also intervenes in the world. He continues to intervene in history.
Always.
And that is represented by Yetziat Mitzrayim. Okay, that's Parshat Bo, the Ramban at the end of Parshat Bo. And so there is a connection between Dafka, between Briat HaOlam and Yetziat Mitzrayim. Meaning, I'm trying to explain the logic of why the Netziv makes this jump to Yetziat Mitzrayim from Briat HaOlam. The reality is that they're connected in a deeper way.
Creation created the world, and Yetziat Mitzrayim created the Jewish people.
It's another connection between them. There's an element of creation in both of these experiences. One is the world, the other one is Am Yisrael, Efemo. So, v'chein, b'ma she'achshov she'bishvilo levado haya kol eisek agadol shel Yetziat Mitzrayim, yehi bazel lemidai lagbia. Purpose is not to make a person into an egomaniac. It's to make a person feel important. Okay, when a person feels important, they feel beholden. They feel responsibility. Okay, they feel shaychut. They feel connected. Okay, and they want to live up to your expectations of them. That's the meaning of this statement. Now, a few things about this. Number one, there may be a little bit of how can we. We want to try to strengthen this idea of the Netziv. There is an argument to be made for the basis for this statement. If you look at the psukim that it mentions afterwards, listen to this pasuk. You should speak to your son. This is the son who is a she'enu day, who doesn't know what I ask. Bavur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mi'vitzrayim. Because of this, God did this for me. So li, meaning he expands this to mean that all of the entire exodus happened because of me, but there's a notion of the individual here. It's not just Otanu, it's not Am Yisrael, it's the individual. Because of this, because we kept the Korban Pesach, because we kept the mitzvot, or in order to fulfill the mitzvot, God redeemed me. So there is a proof here for the Netziv that it boils down to the individual as opposed to the collective. Okay. A few more ideas based on this, now that we're looking at this line. The Rambam has a very interesting formulation. He takes this notion, which is again quoted in the Mishnah in the 10th paragraph of Masechet Pesachim, and he adds two words. He adds Chayav Adam, not lirot et atzmo, but it's Chayav Adam leharot et atzmo.
To show himself.
To show. Okay? Ki'ilu, who ata with an ayin, ata yatzami mitzrayim. Okay? Ata now. So he adds two words. Number one, it's now. It's right now I need to feel like I've left Egypt in this moment of the Haggadah, as we experience the Haggadah. But also leharot as opposed to lirot. This is a famous word.
Whose fault is this?
Okay, so this is the Rambam. The Rambam has a different formulation of the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. He has leharot as opposed to lirot. Instead of I see myself as being redeemed, I need to show myself as if I'm being redeemed. What's the difference between these two things? Leharot. I'm going to pick up on this piece in Reb Soloveitchik in just a little bit. Leharot means that I am demonstrating.
To show others.
Exactly. So now you're acting, okay? You're playing a role. You bring all these props, and you have all these foods, and you put on some clothing, and you sing all these songs, and you recline, and you do these things. Literally, you're engaging every single sense in the body. There's an old Moroccan custom. It's in other places too, but one of the older members of the family walks into the walks into the Seder, they come from outside in sandals and a stick and a hat and say, who are you? Ani, Eretz Mitzrayim, where are you going? Ani Olech, Eretz Yisrael, and there's this. It's like, again, yeah, you guys do a posh.
Yeah, the kids will dress up. Walking around and the neighbors.
Okay, so the Fishers have some Moroccan connections there.
But actually, the Rambam is very different to the original text,
mm-hmm.
because it transports you in time, right? So B'chol Levador, the regular reading of it, and we're meant to experience at the Seder as if we were ourselves there. So we transport ourselves back into history. And now that the Rambam's reading of it is very different. It's that today, right now,
exactly.
It's not we transport ourselves back.
It's not that we were
that feeling of then.
Correct.
To
this moment.
To this moment. It's correct. Like the other way around. So whatever's happening in our lives right now, we're told stop, and right now you're going to experience a Yitzhak.
Exactly, it's an
today.
Experience. Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
right. Experiencing right now, and I'm going to touch upon this at some point in the Shabbos Agadol Drasha Bezrat Hashem on Shabbat.
Does that matter?
I think it does. I think it's saying, because when you put yourself back into history, okay, you like picture yourself and you have this image of Har Sinai and Mitzrayim and the Matzah and the panic and the Pharaoh. And now what it means is, it means that Mitzrayim is different. Now, what is our Yitzhak Mitzrayim for us physically today?
It's wherever we are now.
I think that's what it means. I think you have to now free yourself at this moment.
From whatever you're enslaved to, whatever you're subjugated to.
We have to do our own today.
Our own Yitzhak.
Exactly.
There's a piece, there's an idea that the Balat Tanya picks up on in Likutei Amarim. In the Tanya, with this notion that everyone has a Mitzrayim that they're stuck in. That we're in the shreds. That's something that we need, that we're enslaved to, that we need to be redeemed from. Now, there's a very nice twist though. What's beautiful about this Rambam is that sometimes people complain that they're not spiritually inspired. I'm not engaged. I'm not I'm bored. I'm not inspired. I'm not feeling it. I go to shul. Nothing happens. Right? Anyone ever have this feeling before? No one's ever had this feeling. No one's ever had this feeling. Certainly not Lawrence. Never had this feeling.
There's a choir. He's okay.
So, the choir wakes him up. That's for sure. It wakes him up. Okay? Now, the idea here is that sometimes when we're not feeling it, you have to act. You have to do certain things. Take action. Don't wait for something to happen to you. Go take action. And there's this idea psychologically, once you take action, you create feelings. Okay, the feelings flow from that action. This is brought out both in modern ways that we'll talk about it in relationships, but also in there's a sefer called Sefer Chinuch, and one of the ideas that he draws out. Is Acharei Pe'ulot Nimshachim Levavot. So the Sefer HaChinuch was written around 13th century in Spain, and he tries to explain the rationale for Yishud the Mitzvah, 613 Mitzvah. So when he says Mishorshei HaMitzvah, he very often will explain the, give some rational explanation for it. And one of the reasons that he often gives is that by doing a certain action, you feel a certain feeling. The action creates a feeling, which is counterintuitive. Normally we think you have a feeling and then you do something based on that action. If I feel love, then I will give something to a certain person, right? This is saying the opposite. This is saying do something, the love will follow. He brings this up for the first time in his commentary to the Torah by the mitzvah connected to Pesach of be'etzem lo tisbru bo. Don't break one of the bones of the Korban Pesach. Okay, we don't have a Korban Pesach, right, today, but when you ate a Korban Pesach, you couldn't break a bone. Why not? Why can't you break the bones of the Korban Pesach? So, breaking the bones is like, if you're royalty, does a king sit at a table and start like eating at the bones and the cartilage and the breaking this? It's, no, come on. A king eats the choicest. He eats the choicest meat, right? He's not nibbling on the bones and breaking the bones. Wow. And what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying is that if you want to be a king, two things that a king does. Okay, don't break the bones, and then you will feel a sense of royalty. You will feel like a free man. You will feel the sense of chirut when you're acting like a king. So the action leads to the feeling. This is true in relationships as well, right? If you're not feeling, a person doesn't feel romance, doesn't feel love, doesn't feel connection. Suddenly when you invest in a relationship, you give to that other person, whatever relationship it is, okay? Hello, how's it going? Hey, Richard, come join us. Yeah, of course, come join us. Yeah, come join us. When you give, it's like, there's a twist. When you give, you love the person more that you're giving to. You love the person more that you're giving to, and it's a very powerful thing, right? If you ever feel, I'm not so sure, I feel so connected to that person, give them a present. Go do something for them, and it brings out the love. You know what I'm talking about, Lawrence?
Yeah. Okay, it's good. Same with your connection with the Kodesh Baruch
Hu. 100%.
Like a bit, I know for myself, if I'm not feeling so connected for whatever reason, if my minion attendance improves,
I start to feel more connected. Exactly.
It's by doing the things.
It's by doing things that we create feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nachon. And the Rav Dessler says this in Mechtav Me'eliyahu, that the word Yahev, Ahava Aleph Hei Bet Hei, actually is connected to the word Yahev. Ahava is love. What's Yahev? Anybody know?
Yahev
is to give.
Oh, yeah. To give.
So love is created when you give. Okay, as opposed to, it doesn't exist, prior to that. You have to create love. One can build love. Okay, this is there's a book I like to quote a lot, The Art of Loving by Eric Fromm. Okay, he was a Jewish psychologist. If I'm not mistaken, he studied in Slobodka. We're back at Slobodka. He wrote a book, perhaps the most famous book ever written on love, at least in modern times. Sold 50 million copies. Small little book, definitely recommend reading. And it's called The Art of Loving. The title captures the essence of the book, okay? Loving is an art, okay? And if it's an art, it means it's something that you can, just like you could develop your painting skills or your guitar skills or, one's voice or whatever it is, right? So too, you can develop your capacity to love. And you do that by learning to give. And he says, the problem in modernity, he's already saying this in the 50s and the 60s, is that we've commodified relationships, right? That a person is looking for the right object of love, as opposed to becoming the right person to love someone else. Shen is all about finding. It's all about, I want to go to the store, I want to find pants or a car or an electric bicycle, right? It's all about you're like shopping, okay? It's turned into a consumer experience, as opposed to let me become a person who is a loving person, and then that's how you build a relationship. It's a total twist of thinking. All of this is drawn out from this change in the Rambam, leharot et atzmo, as opposed to lirot et atzmo. Okay, so this is the netziv. We're supposed to imagine that God took us out of Egypt because of me, because of all of us as individuals. I will mention, I was talking to someone about this week. I'll tell you a good story. So a very very close friend, who was in from South Africa this week. I went with, we went out for coffee this week and we caught up. I haven't seen him in 3-4 years. And he happens to be he's the CEO of a college in South Africa. Okay. He owns a college. Okay, it's a business venture, but it's also something that he feels is good for society. So, but at this point, he's totally taken himself outside of the business. Okay, he's not dealing with day-to-day, you know, he's not going to the office, he's like really taking a step back, okay? And he's, you know, when I was in South Africa, he was much more involved day-to-day. So he said he's so removed that they decided there was a low morale during COVID, so he was going to get out and speak to all of the teachers and all of the all the staff, and he was going to say hi and give them a little bit of a boost and build some vision and also give everybody a bonus. So the director of the program, you know, says, "I want to welcome to the phone call a special guest." Okay, and so he gets on, and half the employees didn't know who he was. Right. So he said that he's just a special guest, and then he's telling them, "You're getting a bonus." They're like, "Why is this guy telling us that we're getting a bonus?" Yeah. So he said. So the next thing that happened is he was invited to graduation. It was a graduation. And he got an email from his own PA, his own personal assistant in the company, wrote him, "Dear special guest, you are invited to, you know, the graduation." So he responds, he says, "First of all, if you're going to call me dear special guest, I'm not that special." I'm really the non-special special guest because you don't even know my name. And he says, "I'm the CEO of the company and you're my PA. Like, you could at least write, dear, you know, so-and-so, you know, it would be an honor for you to join whatever at the graduation." So I said, you know, it's a good lesson. I said, there's a famous comment of the Rav Simcha Ben Mefasheshcha, that a person should carry around two notes in their hands, okay? And one of them is Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, okay? And in one pocket, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, God created the world for me. And in the other one you carry around, and you would know what the other one is? Anochi Afar Va'Efer. All we are is dust
and ashes.
You're doing a concert, Lawrence. You play rock and roll. All we are is dust and the...
That's a song.
All we are is dust and
Pink Floyd.
Yeah, he's
nothing. Oh yeah, just
all we are Pink Floyd. All we are dust in the wind.
Yeah.
What am I quoting? Is it not okay to quote Pink Floyd here?
Yeah,
I mean, is Pink Floyd out of the? Are they not good enough for you, Pink Floyd?
No.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
No, we do play.
Okay, so the okay, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
But the
I wish you were here, sir.
I wish you were here. I'm happy that you're here. Okay, so the kitzur, this line reminded me. And why do we need that? We need, you know, there are moments when we're feeling, you know, really good about ourselves, and we need to be reminded on the chiyafah ve'efer. Don't get above yourself. Don't let your. And there are moments that we need a boost. We need a boost. And that's all captured in this idea of the Netziv, the Rambam, and Tov. This is the first idea that I wanted to share tonight. Second idea comes from Harei Kedem, okay, the Sefer, which is a collection of Rav Soloveitchik's commentary on the Chagim, the Moedim. One of his, who put this together? Rav Michal Zalman Shurkin. I'm not quite sure who that is, to be honest, but it's from notes from the Shirim that were that the Rav gave on many of the Chagim. And this particular piece has to do with Beinyan Amirat Pesach Matzah Umarar. Okay? Who's the one who said you have to speak about Pesach Matzah Umarar? Anybody remember? It's good. A little bit of review of the Haggadah. Good. Rabban Gamliel. Okay? Rabban Gamliel. Okay? He's the one who says, Evokol Shelo Amar Shloshat Dvarim Lo Yatsa Yidei Chovato. Whoever doesn't say these three things has not fulfilled his obligation. Okay? What are they? Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. Yafeh. This is from the Gemara. It's also from the Mishnah. 10th Perek of Masechet Pesachim. Again, one of the core texts about the Haggadah. Now, we're going to do some analysis of this. If you want, I'm happy to. I send you the source sheet, the Makarot, and I also send it to you. Do you want to look inside, or you'll just, or I'll read it.
Well,
okay.
Definitely.
You want the text?
Definitely.
It's in your phone. Okay, I send it to your WhatsApp. Yeah, okay,
so
you have it. Okay? Now, have you ever thought about this line? Kol shelo omer, kol shelo amar shel shet v'im lo yetzei dechavato, let's identify what this is. Whoever doesn't say these things has not fulfilled his obligation.
Strange.
What obligation?
Having Seder.
Having Seder, there's an obligation to have Seder?
Of saying those things.
Of saying those things. So there's a mitzvah to say those things?
You can say the other way around.
If you didn't say these things, you didn't fulfill your obligation of saying these things. What?
Remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim. You've got everything in that.
Pesach, so this has to do with remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Sums up the story in three words.
Okay. So let's analyze a little bit. V'yisod din amira zon nilman me'apasuk. Where is this learned from? It comes from the Torah. What does it say in the Torah? The amartem, and you shall say, zevach Pesach. Kemevo'ar lehalan b'mishnah. It says in the Pasuk, you shall say the Korban Pesach, etc., etc. So that this notion of saying, of reciting. The Tosfot mentions this idea. Omnam tzarich be'or. We have a question. We need an explanation here. What mitzvah have you not fulfilled? The Yuyan Berambam. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kol shelo amar shloshat varim elu b'lel chamisha asar lo yatzai dechavata v'chulei. Udvarim ha'elu kula nikraim hagada. Rambam adds four words. These things, five words. These three things and others are all called hagada. So what mitzvah have you not fulfilled if you don't say these three things? It's clear from the Rambam. It's clear to the Rambam. Saying these three things is part of the mitzvah of telling the story, sort of what you said, Richard, of Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's part of the mitzvah of telling the story. Okay? We'll see what the opposing view is in just a second. Okay? If you don't say these three things, you've not fulfilled the obligation of telling the story. Now, Ulam Biramban, B'Milchemotav. You know, the Ramban is a sefer called the Milchamot Hashem. Think about the wars of Hashem. What is he, like some jihadist? Like, what is going on here? Why does he have a sefer called the wars of Hashem?
The wars of Hashem?
Wars or behalf of Hashem. Milchamot Hashem. So the reason is, the most famous Rav of his generation, or at least two generations before, was someone by the name of the Rif, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi. Left Fez, Alfasi, and had to actually went to Spain. Okay, when he goes to Spain, the center of learning, and you know, moves from North Africa to Spain, at least in the Sephardi world. Now, the Rif was about 80 to 90 years old. He lived a very long life. And a young guy by the name of Rav Zerachya Halevi, who was in his 20s, wrote a harsh, harsh commentary against the Rif's, you know, halachot. The Rif's halachot were revolutionary. Well, I don't want to go into why right now. But this 25-year-old starts bashing the Rif, okay? And the Ramban says, no, I'm not going to have this. So he writes the Milchamot Hashem to defend the Rif against the Baal HaMa'or, Rav Zerachya Halevi. Okay? And it's all captured in the back of the Gemara. Now, what does the Ramban say? He'erich sham lochiach v'lo yatza yideich ovato, damru chazal, bekam imgon lo shelo yatza yideich ovato legamre, ela shelo yatza yideich ovato mitzvah ki hilchata. David Tosfot l'dina demadnidin mahalishna. So we're going to bring the word to the Ramban. Now the Ramban's going to give a different explanation. The Rambam, so Ramban versus Rambam. We already saw the Rambam. What does the Ramban say? He says, v'shaninu kayotzi ba kol shelo amar shelo tvarim ba pesach lo yatza yideich ovato, lo she'etzarech lachzor v'lachol pesach matzal maror. He says, it doesn't mean that you need to go back to eat the Korban Pesach and the Matzah and the Maror again if you didn't say these three things. Now, according to the Ramban, let's extrapolate from here. What chuvah are we talking about here? We're not talking about the chuvah of telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We're talking about the chuvah of what? Of eating Matzah and eating the Korban Pesach and eating Maror. Meaning, if you don't say the thing first, you haven't fulfilled your obligation of those three mitzvot. It's not the story, the mitzvah telling the story. It's a different mitzvah. Okay, but let me talk to the Ramban. The Amirat Gimel Devarim Elu Heim Chelek Mi Mitzvah Pesach Matzo Maror. The Ein Zeh Chelek Me'asipur Di Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's not part of the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Al Korchach Kad Ramban Yom Leitzei Levado Hayah Ki Pshuto. So he reads it like the pshat. Has to do with not fulfilling the obligation of those three mitzvot. It's not about Yetziat Mitzrayim itself, the story of telling Yetziat Mitzrayim.
So, but what does it mean, Amira? Why? why is it saying you don't say these things? Then when you did the mitzvah of achilat matzah, you missed out on something.
Why would you
say something?
Good. So the Rav brings a very interesting proof. So the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah has the following case. I remember learning this in ninth grade. Okay, it's a little bit of a bizarre case. Kafuhu parsin le'chol matzah. So let's say it's a Persian. They used to live in, you know, they lived in Persian. The Talmud is written in Persian times. A lot of the new academia that's coming out of the Talmud is about the Talmud in the Persian context. I should actually do some shirim on this. It's very interesting stuff. I have a friend from the army who did a PhD on this in Princeton. Okay, it's very interesting stuff. And to do comparative, you know, textual study of the some of the religious texts that they had versus what we have, and you know, they're different, clear differences. But it, and people have started studying what's the language? There's a language. It's ancient Persian, essentially. Okay, in order to there are very few scholars who know both Aramaic and Persian. Okay, there's a rabbi from YU, tremendous time with Chacham, just forgetting his name right now, who went to Harvard for a number of years to learn with one of the Persian scholars there, and you know to do this type of work. Anyway, this is the case. Kafuhu parsin. You tell me if this ever happened to you, Lawrence. Kafuhu parsin la'chol matzah. Yatza de mitzvah in tzricho kavana. A Persian walks into your house and force feeds you matzah. Have you fulfilled your obligation? What do you think, yes or no?
Well, you've actually ate it.
Okay.
Whether or not.
So the answer is yatzah. You fulfilled your obligation. Why? To mitzvot, it's your kavana. To fulfill a mitzvah, you don't need intention to fulfill the mitzvah. So wait a second. So the Rush says, wait a second. The Rub says, wait a second. How do you fulfill your obligation if you haven't said these three things? The stuff was shoved into your mouth, right? It reminds me actually of Nathan Sharansky's story. Has anyone read Fear No Evil? Unbelievable book. And it's a good Pesach book because it's about freedom of the mind. Unbelievable. So Nathan Sharansky, he went on a hunger strike for days, okay, for months. And they used to force feed him this goop. Okay, that's because they don't. It's like they wanted to kill you, but they want you to die. I mean, it was like this, right? That's what they.
On their terms, you die on their terms.
Right? You die on their terms, or whatever. They were scared of international opinion.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's the closest I can think of this example. So he was forced, but you didn't say the three things. So this is a proof against the Ramban.
Yeah.
Because clearly, how could you fulfill your obligation if you didn't say the three things? Clearly, it's not a part of the obligation of these three mitzvot. Okay. Vinir Elivar, now the Rav's going to explain this. Tiva achilat Pesach u'maror, matzah u'maror, yeshnei kiyumim chalukim. This is classic for Spir Lamdas. There's a distinction. There are two different, you know, dinim, two different aspects to the performance of mitzvah. Kiyum achad u'kiyum shal mitzvah achilat. When you eat the matzah, there's an obligation to eat matzah.
Wait a minute, sorry.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The converse is, you say those three things, but don't eat tea. The three things. Is that okay?
No.
I said Pesach Matzah Morah, but I didn't actually get around
to it. Okay, well, yes, in a way it is. You'll see. In a way it is. In a way it is. Let's see what he says.
It doesn't say you need to say these things in order to fulfill the mitzvah. It says if you haven't said these things, then you haven't fulfilled. That means to me, you still need to perform those mitzvahs.
It doesn't say that.
But this is an element you also need to include.
It doesn't say that.
It says if
so let's see. Wait, let's see what he says. I think you guys are you're pointing out an important, good question. When you eat the Pesach, you're fulfilling the obligation of eating korban Pesach and matzah and maror, etc. Besides for this, we also learn. But the other pasuk of Amartem, then you shall say Zevach Pesach. Tiba Achilat Pesach Matzah Maror Yesh Kiyum Nosaf Shel Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Part of the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim is eating these things. Part of the mitzvah itself. It's not just a verbal mitzvah. It's an active mitzvah. It's a mitzvah connected to eating. Okay. The mitzvah tzipur yitziat mitzrayim atzma mitkayemet b'shnei ofanim. The story, the mitzvah of telling the story itself is two aspects. One, ayde amirat agadah v'asipur, telling it, revealing the story, sharing it, you know, putting together parts of the narrative. Bet
B'maaseh mitzvah shel sipur, v'zeu pesach matzah u'maror. Do the actions that you take as you tell the story.
On the side, is it okay to have a side?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just finish a point. U'matzinu behedya ki yum sipur yitzim mitzrayim al-dei maaseh. We've seen explicitly that you fulfill the obligation of telling the story by doing certain things. Coming back to the Netziv. Why? Where do we see this? And the Rambam. We're going to quote the Rambam that we just read. B'chol davar chayav adam lehar od et atzmo kiluhu be'atzmo yatza ata mishibun mitzrayim. Shnamar b'atzen otzi misham. Right? A person needs to demonstrate that they left Egypt now. Okay? Lefikach. Kishasoed. And this is still reading the Rambam. When you eat, when you feast. So it adam b'alayla hazet zarech lechov lishtot v'hum meisev derech chirut. You have to eat and sit by reclining. By the way, the heseba that we do reclining, they used to sit on couches, right? Think of like maybe a little more of a Moorish Muslim type of style. Okay, you're lying on couches, you're lying on beds. Okay, so you're reclining with little tables next to you, and you recline on the left as opposed to the right. What we do like this is the most uncomfortable thing that's ever been. You know, I'll tell you, growing up, we used to decorate the living room. We would do magid. It's set up with carpets and all these things. Do magid in the living room, and then when you go to the table, the table's clean. Yeah, no one spilled grape juice.
We still do that.
And you do Shulchan Aruch there. No, but we set up the whole room in a special way.
Okay? We're on the couches.
Whoever wants to fall asleep falls asleep. Whoever wants to, right? A king can go to sleep whenever he wants. Okay, that's all. So the Rambam says, "Lepigach kishdoi datam balayla zetzorech dalchol lishtor v'hu meisev ve'acher v'kol achad ben anashim ben nashim chavishor balayla zet arba kosot." Everyone needs to drink 4 kosot, men and women. Mevo'ar baramim dechiyuv asibah v'dain kosot akol kedei laharot kiluhu batzva ad yatzat mishim mitzayin zeu chiyuv sipur v'hagada aydei maaseh. This is part of the storytelling of Mitzrayim, is that you're acting it out, you're demonstrating, you're reliving, you're re-experiencing. Maaseh mitzvah da'aseh b'vidalat kosot. Kamosh katu, okay, etc., etc. Okay? So we see here the according to the Rav, clearly when it says lo yatzei de'ikol shelo amar shel dvarim ha'elu lo yatzei de'chovato, it's talking about this, the mitzvah of telling the story. Because the mitzvah of telling the story has an element of eating in it. Okay, there's an action that's a part of the retelling, and this all goes back to what we said earlier, right? That when you how do you create a feeling? How do you create a sentiment? How do you create an experience? You have to do something.
By doing it.
You have to act. Doing something. Okay, you have to get up out of your chair. I'll tell you just something I think about a lot. In today's day and age, please God, we're post COVID. What are people looking for? What are they searching for? They're searching for experiences. They're searching for a religious experience, sitting in a shir. Okay, some people do it, some people don't. But you take someone somewhere, you get them out to move, you get them away from their computer or at their dining room table, okay, and then you can do something transformative. When you move your body around, we've been sitting at our computers that are in our living rooms for the last 2 years. When you move around, that's when you create something, you shake things up a little bit. And all the calcification, all of the cynicism, all the, that's been hardened over the last 2 years. You could sort of break that down a little bit and do something transformative. So Bezrat Hashem, we should be shenizkeh to feel like we exited Egypt this coming Pesach. Okay. Yeah.